FM News Talk 97.1 podcast.
We're glad it's over. It's 100% the way it should have been. I wish it could have gone a lot sooner, a lot quicker. There are a lot of people out there that have done some very, very evil things, very bad things. I would say treasonous things against our country.
If Congress is so gung-ho to call people up to the Hill, the list I would start with are Comey, Clapper, Brennan, and other people in the FBI who perpetuated this absurd lie and this absurd idea that the president of the United States was somehow a foreign agent and colluding with another government.
Yeah, and we're still waiting for the apologies, aren't we? It's been a couple days now, and I can only think of a handful of people who've had the guts to go on TV and say, I was wrong. I was wrong. Even Eric Holder, they finally had to directly ask him. Go to Cut 10 with Eric Holder. Listen.
Does the lack of the conspiracy indictment clear Donald Trump of collusion?
I think it does. I mean, on the basis of what I have seen.
Yeah. I think it does. They don't want to admit it. It's what they've been hanging their hat on for a couple of years. Hey, glad you're back with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Got Chris Arps coming up in just a few minutes. We'll talk more about this effort down in Jeff City to close our primaries. So if you're Republican, you vote Republican. You're Democrat, you vote Democrat. And that's what they're trying to do. They're going to vote on it tomorrow. We'll get to more on that with Chris Arps coming up. Right now, let me get to my guest. She is Kayleigh McEnany, of course, a spokesman for the RNC. And Kayleigh, thanks for being with us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mark. Appreciate it.
You bet. I assume you share my frustration at how few people have actually come forward and apologized for the role they played in this Mueller debacle over the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's incredible that Democrats perpetuated these lies. They knew they were lies all along. You had Tom Perez, DNC chair, saying there's mounds of evidence of collusion, and you had Jerry Nadler echoing that, Adam Schiff saying there's plenty of evidence, and many others. Beto O'Rourke, 35 minutes before the exoneration came out, saying that he was certain that there's collusion. So, you know, there were a whole lot of Democrats who told us a whole lot of lies, and there needs to be an accounting for that. And unfortunately, I don't think there will be, but we're certainly putting the pressure on to try to make that happen.
Well, yeah, you would hope so. Fox had the story yesterday that when the House Intelligence Committee was first requesting information from text messages with Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and all that, it bordered on obstruction to their request. The FBI kind of stonewalled turning that information over because somebody up there knew where this was going and they were trying to slow walk it.
Right, exactly right. I mean, just look at the text messages with Peter Strzok saying there's no there 8 months into it, but nevertheless having another message saying, you know, we created this insurance policy against President Trump and Andy's office, purportedly Andy McCabe. There was a whole lot of bias going on in the FBI, and it seems like a meritless investigation that was perpetuated not just for eight months, but beyond that for nearly 3 years when you count the FBI investigation. So, yes, we need to get to the bottom of it. It's very scary when your intelligence agencies are used to politicize and to spy on a presidential campaign, which is exactly what happened in 2016.
Yeah, very true. You know, the New York Post has, now if you've seen their Mueller madness brackets where they're trying to figure out who was the worst, and they've named media members, they've named some politicians on there. Ultimately, we need answers. Lindsey Graham has hinted at this, that somebody needs to come forward and take a hard look at where this started, why it started, how it reached the level it did in terms of the investigation without somebody questioning these original source documents more closely.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm glad that we have that Senate resource available to us where Lindsey Graham is at the helm and can lead that investigation. Hopefully DOJ looks into this as well, because I can guarantee you that Nancy Pelosi and the House have no interest in pursuing this line of investigation, although you think they would because it's for what it should be about, America. It should be about the basic principle that intelligence agencies should never be politicized, that no president should have to begin his term after getting a strong mandate from the American people, saddled down by a meritless, baseless investigation based on no probable cause and no evidence. It should be a pretty basic principle, but unfortunately, Democrats today, it's just politics at all costs. Trump derangement syndrome, as they say. We're seeing it play out in full force.
Yes, we are. You know, Kaylee, what I'm the saddest about is opportunity lost. When you look at how much this president's gotten accomplished in the face of this maelstrom that he's faced for 2.5 years of investigation now, he's still managed to right the ship of the economy, and he's done great things on trade and unemployment, and he continued moving forward in a headwind that I think a lot of politicians wouldn't have survived. I mean, it's pretty amazing when you think about it.
Oh, it's truly amazing. I mean, he kept his steadfast focus on the American people. Instead of becoming, you know, completely hamstrung by this investigation, which anyone, I'm sure the Clinton administration would tell you, when you have a special counsel or an independent counsel there, it tends to be all-consuming, but not for this president. This president knew he was in the right. He knew he had done nothing wrong, and he kept his eye on the American people, and we've seen the results of that with historic low unemployment for several categories, with those on the bottom half of the income spectrum finally seeing their wages rise, and 71% in the CNN poll saying these are good economic times. We're seeing the fruits of this president's successes, who knew he was right, knew he would be vindicated, and kept his eye and his focus where it needed to be, which is achieving for Americans.
Yeah, that's a great point. Kaylee McEnany, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Mark. Have a great week.
We'll have you on again soon. At Kaylee McEnany on Twitter, KayleeMcEnany.com is her her website. We're gonna be back in a minute with our friend Chris Arps right after this message. Right after this message.
Trump here. Are you tired of winning yet?
I'm a patriot true and true. I love this country. I love everything that it stands for. And the difference between me, amazingly enough, as the son of a billionaire from New York City, is that unlike the Democrats, I actually spend a lot of time in middle America, whether it be my hobbies in the outdoors or shooting and fishing. I know those people. Guess how many of them have even asked about Russia? Zero. Because they know that it's nonsense.
Who is the man that would risk his neck for his brother, man?
Chef!
Can you dig it?
Yeah, how about that? Chris Arps, how you doing?
I hit it today. Chef! Chef!
You almost
Chef!
Hit it. Hey, okay, that's good. Settle down.
Our ears are okay.
I'm sorry, I'm really hyped up today to get going.
Well,
sorry.
Good. What is it you're wanting Woo! To talk about? Mueller, isn't it a great week, baby?
Mueller, we've got a Greitens situation here in St. Louis County. Not the sexual part, but the chief executive in turmoil. And,
why did you automatically relate that back to Eric Greitens?
Because I see a lot of similarities in the situation between Eric Greitens and Steve Stenger.
Would you like to enlighten us on that?
I do. I see a
situation. Has money changed hands?
What no, I don't think money's changed hands. But whenever you see a controversy like this, a politician in trouble, I think it's very interesting the people that come out after charges like these are leveled or a revelation like this is told, to see who supports this person. A lot of times if someone is popular or has a lot of friends, people will come out and say, I know this person. He's a person of integrity. We have to let the process play out. These are just an investigation. Nothing's been proven. When you don't see anybody come out defending someone right away, I think that speaks volumes. And that's one of the similarities that I see between Greitens and Steve Stenger, these two situations.
I was going to say, I read the article in the Post, and I didn't see any quotes like that. That must be what you're talking about.
Yeah, there were not a lot of people that came out in support. And, I don't think it's any secret that Eric Greitens didn't make a lot of friends within his party while he was governor. And I don't think it's a secret that Steve Stenger hasn't made a lot of friends within the Democratic Party, especially among African-Americans in his party. And if a politician gets in trouble and has a controversy and you don't have anybody around you supporting you, whatever, that's a lonely period.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And in this particular case, yeah, we also get to watch the folks of Better Together squirm a little bit over this whole thing.
I feel sorry for them. I mean, this is almost...
No. Don't feel sorry for them.
You know, Mark,
don't feel sorry for them.
The two young ladies here may not remember Schleprock from the old Flintstone cartoons. Schleprock, the guy with, like, the bad luck.
Couldn't do anything right, yeah.
But Better Together, man, they're having a Schleprock going, and it's just one thing after another.
I love it.
They had change their logo to this guy.
To Schleprock.
They had to go down and refile again. And my suspicion is it won't be the last time. And as somebody pointed out online in one of the social media posts, might have been on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got an idea. If you're going to go down there and change the wording in this thing, why don't you change to what we really want, which is to make this a local vote?
Yeah.
But they're not going to do that.
Well, Mark, and you know here at 97.1, we're all about fair and balanced. So we do have to say that... Yes, we're fair and balanced. So Better Together said that them going down, changing the petition, had nothing to do with Steve Stenger's troubles that we heard from the people.
Chicken crap.
We heard from the people, and that's why we're changing this.
Yeah.
That's what the official line was.
Whatever. It just seems I don't believe in coincidences, and it's just coincidence that they happen to have the wording changed on the same day we found out the county executive is under federal investigation. Are you kidding me? The man who, according to their documentation, would be the king of the new St. Louis Unified Kingdom if that ever happened.
I think you have a better odds of winning the lottery and the trifecta out at the track on the same day.
I think you're right.
For that not to happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, they've had a bad stretch of time here, haven't they?
Interesting watching. It's funny watching. I know that you're getting a lot of amusement out of it, aren't you?
But back to the Mueller report.
Yes, sir.
A happy No Collusion Tuesday. I'm going to say that every day this week, just so you know.
That rhymes. Is 97.1 coming out with t-shirts with that? Did I just come out with a t-shirt idea?
Hey, there you go. How about that?
You just
Tuesday.
Take care of that, all right?
Yeah.
That's out there. Yeah. And, yep, there you go.
I'll use my expense account.
Yes, we'll get that.
We'll get that taken care of. I've enjoyed watching these folks on network news try to defend themselves. Brian Stelter and Cuomo, Chris Cuomo, who flat out said he apologizes for nothing.
Yeah.
These questions needed to be asked.
I mean, the president, I mean, if you look at Barr's summary, and it seems that he is quoting directly from the report, the president was and people around him and his campaign were completely exonerated. I've got other thoughts on the obstruction.
We'll get to it. What did the Obama administration know, and when did they know it? And we've got Sterling on the phone, who's come up with a short poem about the Mueller report findings.
About everything, but I don't get any great joy from seeing a lawyer indicted on such serious charges that could result in disbarment and a significant prison term.
As all of you know, for the entirety of my career, I have fought against the powerful, powerful people and powerful corporations. I will never stop fighting that good fight. I am highly confident that when all of the evidence is laid bare in connection with these cases, when it is all known, when due process occurs, that I will be fully exonerated and justice will be done. Thank you.
Get your head out of your butt. Focus on the real issues.
Do you know that Michael Avenatti gets arrested? Do you know what the acronym is for that? MAGA, baby. Isn't that awesome? Michael Avenatti is defending himself, and he's going to beat this, and he went to Nike with the guy that handled the Jussie Smollett case and demanded a $25 million ransom from them, or he was going to go public with some groundbreaking story about Nike paying off an AAU coach in California.
He's right out of central casting for Sleazy Lawyer, isn't he?
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. And he's a St. Louisan, too. That's almost kind of...
Well, you know when somebody had a... I think maybe it was Greg Gutfeld who pointed this out yesterday. That when Stormy Daniels had to tweet out that
she, one of the greatest disappointments of her life was her dealing with Michael Avenatti, that that when dealing with a creepy porn lawyer is the worst decision she's made, that says something.
It must be pretty bad. It must be pretty. I like how Tui's from Missouri and we can't help ourselves. Everybody's like, well, where'd he go to high school? Everybody needs to know.
You
know,
Parkway Central,
guy's
right?
A turd, and everybody's like, wait, where'd he go to school?
When all this was going on last year, I put something on Facebook. I was like, can you slut shame a slut?
Oh.
Chris.
I don't know.
Chris Arps.
Oh, you mean you're talking about with Stormy Daniels.
When everybody was all on her pretending.
Oh,
you
making
know,
fun yeah, of. Yeah, yeah, well, I mean, I she has no shame about it.
Yeah.
Right?
I think if a woman's owning her sexuality, one, I don't like the term, but two, I don't think it's necessary to try, or two, possible.
Okay, just wondering. I was asking for a friend.
My only point is that the whole reason you could tell that it was all about money, I mean, that she took the $150,000 and then realized she could have made a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. Avenatti said, you could have made a whole lot more. You knew she was still in search of cash because she showed up on the east side over here doing dollar dances. I mean, come on.
How do you know that?
I saw it in the Riverfront Times. Uh-huh. They had an ad for it. We talked about it.
It was very well
time.
Advertised.
Well advertised. How did you miss that?
I missed it.
That's what I want to know. Okay. Let's get to Sterling here, who's been holding on line one. Sterling, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark. I love your show.
Thank you.
And sometimes when things happen in public, in the government, I think of certain situations as photographs. And I thought this investigation just made me feel about this one instance, so here it goes. Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. The MAGA hats are coming out, filling Trumpers with delight. But from the heart of the DNC, you can hear the sobs and shouts. For there is no joy in D.C. Mighty Mueller has struck out.
Nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, very good. I like it, Sterling.
I'll go ahead and have a good day. And thank you.
Bye. You bet. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. But we like that. Happy no collusion
Tuesday.
And
my other thought on obstruction that we didn't get to, for Mueller, I think, to charge the president with obstruction, I think he would have had to read the president's mind and know exactly what was the intent and what was the motive for firing Jim Comey? Because I think that was the main charge for the obstruction, that he had fired Jim Comey so he could stop the investigation. And I mean, part of it was Mueller's like, well, I'd have to say that I know that's why he fired him, even though the president has every right to fire him for whoever he wants in his cabinet. So you have to try to determine his motive. And Mueller, you know, said he's not going to do that.
That gets back to the crux of the issue. And Virginia Cruda has an article in the Daily Caller that we've now put up on the blog, I believe. Right, Tricia? We're about to at 971talk.com/Cox. And it quotes Chris Christie in there, who used to be a prosecutor. And he said, what people forget here is that you have a presumption of innocence. Yeah. Anytime a prosecutor is looking at somebody for a potential crime, the presumption is they're innocent. Yeah. You look at the facts and you decide if you have enough evidence that they violated a law before you charge them. Not charging them doesn't mean it's not the same as not exonerating them, which is what the Democrats want to argue here. You have a presumption of being innocent. And if the prosecutor looks at it and doesn't think there's enough evidence that you did anything wrong, it's not that he's not clearing your name. That's his job is not to clear your name. His job is to prove you did something wrong.
Yeah.
Clearly, Mueller didn't feel like he could prove that based on just what you said. Yeah. This president... Any president, a president Hillary Clinton, and thank goodness we never have to utter those words outside of a hypothetical situation, could have fired James Comey, and I believe would have fired James Comey if she'd become president. In November of 2016, 2 weeks before the election, late October, every Democrat in America was calling for his head.
That's true. Can I be a wet blanket for a minute?
Is there anything new about that?
I'm trying to give political analysis here. You know, the president being exonerated, and he was exonerated from a Mueller investigation, special counsel investigation, is huge. This is a big deal. But the president is still not out of legal trouble yet. A lot of the cases that Mueller was investigating, he referred to the Southern District of New York. Now, what they're investigating are financial.
Has nothing to do with collusion.
I know, Mark, but there's politics involved in this also.
I know.
What they're investigating is financial crimes and things like, did he inflate his earnings to try to get a loan to buy the Buffalo Bills? That's something if somebody
who
really
cares.
I know. What I'm saying is, if someone really wanted to pursue that, you know, that could make some trouble for him. The question is, will the American people want to impeach the president and get rid of the president because of something like that? And I don't think so. But the Democrats are probably going to overreach and do that. But some of the stuff that they're investigating is stuff that he could be indicted for after he's out of office. If they
this
can
isn't
look at
fair.
These financial crimes,
yeah,
because they've got his CFO that they've given limited immunity. And all this stuff, so, you know, I don't want to be the total wet blanket. It's great that this Mueller investigation is over, that's fine, but the legal jeopardy is still not over yet.
That's sick. Those are corrupt bastards, Chris.
And she's talking to you.
Yeah.
You hear that.
That's sick. Those are corrupt bastards,
I just try to look at all sides of everything. And
here's the
thing
about it, and I pointed this out before. The state's attorney in the state of New York ran for office on a platform of getting Donald Trump. She ran for office in the state of New York with the stated goal. They have her on audio saying it, that if you elect me, I'm going to investigate everything his family has ever done. That reaches a level of hatred that people in the United States are going to reject. No matter how much you disliked Barack Obama, there weren't people up in New York digging through his tax returns from 3 years before he became president.
And that's the politics aspect of this. What I'm saying is there's a legal aspect of it.
But the legal aspect is because of the politics.
Well, sometimes you can't separate
the
two.
Well, you have to. It's dirty pool.
And it's hard to separate the two when you're months away from a presidential election, too.
They're going to put his family through hell.
Oh, yeah.
Just because they're unhappy with his presidency. Yep. And, you know, I mean, ultimately, you have to ask yourself,
who the hell wants to change what we're doing now?
Thank you. I think that's the question of the day. All right.
I agree.
What did you have beyond the dossier? Why didn't you listen to Bruce Orr? At the end of the day, how could you use this document that's unverified to this day to get a warrant on four different occasions?
Thank you. All good questions hopefully Lindsey Graham is going to ask somebody in Washington, D.C.
Lindsey Graham is going to be like a dog on a bone. I can't get what I'm saying out when it comes to this. You know he's up for re-election this year.
Oh, so you know, 2020.
Well, that means we're getting the good Lindsey Graham. I'm
next
in.
Year. So you know,
yeah, no kidding.
So you know he's going to just milk this for all it's worth.
He'll be all right in South Carolina. He's not going to have a primary challenge down there, probably.
Oh,
so
I know, but he's
there'll be some Democrat running against.
But
him.
But he always, you know, kind of wins, but not really by a lot. He may want to win by like 60% this election.
I saw them suggest one time that Stacey Abrams might move to South Carolina to challenge Lindsey Graham.
Oh, good grief!
Because they're anxious to get her in the Senate sooner rather than later, right? I mean, the state's share a border. Yeah. She just moves across to Augusta there somewhere. And
is there no rule about how long you have to live somewhere?
She's a carpetbagger.
Yeah, that's
I don't
what
know.
I'm saying. So.
Well, Hillary Clinton did the same thing. She's not from New York. She moved there to run for Senate.
Wow, that's shady.
Of course it is. Well, Hillary Clinton. What do you expect?
That's true.
Come on.
And Southerners have a disdain for carpetbagging, historically.
Well, yeah, I would think, except that the Northerners don't, right?
What is that?
Oh, don't go there.
I just did. I can't help
don't
it.
Don't go there.
Yeah, I'll just ignore
what
that.
What I miss. Come on. Yeah, no, let's change the conversation.
Okay, I missed it.
I like when Mark gets uncomfortable. It's funny.
He's all squirming around in his chair.
We got five more minutes of this. Let's keep it going.
So that dog...
Did you hear about my daughter's dog?
No, what happened?
So I'm sitting at dinner. She's getting a puppy, right?
Oh, okay.
And she's about to graduate, and we're getting her a puppy for graduation. Okay. And we're at dinner the other night, and the Duke game is on, and I'm watching it on my phone. which was unusual at the dinner table, but I'm watching it because it's a close game. And then the Mueller thing was breaking all at the same time on Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And we sit down and I say to my daughter, so what are you going to name your dog? She goes, well, I don't want to tell you because I don't want your input. I'm like, well, I don't care what you name your dog. What are you going to name your dog? Okay. We're thinking about naming the dog Ruth, and we'll call it Ruthie. And I'm like, oh, like baby Ruth. Yeah. Or we have a cousin named Ruth whose middle name is Ruth. Okay, whatever. And I go back to watch it. What I didn't notice because I'm watching the game is that my wife and my daughter are like exchanging glances like, that's it? That's all Dad's going to say about it? So I come into work Monday morning, and I'm telling these two that same story. And they both immediately said,
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Clearly, that's what they were
saying. Clearly, that is what was happening.
Your daughter's naming that dog after the most liberal, progressive member of the United States Supreme Court. How did that get past you?
Yeah.
I was distracted.
Especially when your other daughter is becoming a lawyer.
That's the daughter who just went to see the Ruth Bader Ginsburg movie. It's the one who's about to graduate.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Who's getting the dog.
I'm sorry. Does that hurt?
It did
heartburn.
It did give me heartburn.
The look on his face yesterday when we were both like, "Oh, like for Ruth Bader Ginsburg," I mean, the color was gone.
Yeah, he said, "No, no,
you didn't." Like, no, she wouldn't.
No, she wouldn't.
You didn't have her listening to talk radio when she was in the car seat as a child.
I did. That's why I'm disappointed.
You did.
I'm just going
to. We're trying to come up with suggestions. You came up with Sandra.
Sandra Day O'Connor. You could call the dog Sandy. That'd be cute, right?
I mean, that's not over yet, Bark. We're trying to help you. We're making a list of potential names here that we can present her with.
She won't change. She's too much like her dad.
We were discussing, at least it's not a Kamala or a Nancy. I could not stand for.
Yeah.
Could be. What did you say to her when you called her yesterday after your
please
revelation?
Hey, what's going on? I'm like, please tell me that you didn't come up with the name Ruth because of RBG. Okay, I won't tell you. I said, well, Denise and Tricia said that's what it is. So I threw you guys under the bus completely.
Thanks, yeah.
Yeah, we got a text from the missus last night.
Thanks for that. We thought we'd slipped one past him. It would have dawned on me eventually.
I
was thinking it probably would. I couldn't believe it hadn't already.
I really thought I was kind of stating
the obvious when he brought it up.
Yep.
I can't wait to hear the future conversations at Thanksgiving.
Well, you know,
the dog won't be invited.
Thank God it's only a dog and not an actual grandchild, because that would have been a lot worse.
Mark's decided he's just going to call it dog.
Dog. Mm-hmm. Please waste that on the dog and not like my grandchild,
baby,
whose name I can't avoid saying. Right?
I can call it baby.
I can call dog, hey, come here, dog, or come here, puppy, but I can't avoid saying that if it's a kid, right?
Hey, kid. Hey, family.
You
member.
Know, honestly, I don't know if you had a grandparent like this, but my grandfather on my dad's side, until I was 5 years old, I thought my name was George because he called hey, every George. Kid in his life George. Hey, George, come here. Right? George, get me this. George, get me that.
What?
He called me George. He called everybody George. So my grandfather lived to 93 or 94 years old. And when he passed away, I'm telling that story at his funeral. And all of the guys in the audience started laughing because he called them George, too. He called everybody George. So it could be that the dog, I don't have to call, I call the dog George.
You should.
He won't know the difference.
That is a perfect thing to do in honor of your grandpa.
They're trying to squirm out of this. They're trying to lessen
their responsibility. No, I think your grandpa's the coolest man of all time.
It's George.
What? Yep, it's
come here, George.
George.
Simplification.
You got to respect
that.
Call
everyone George.
And well, you didn't have to remember the names or anything.
It's better than like Bud. Hey, Bud.
Bud.
Hey, Bud. George. Hey,
yeah. I'd maybe call George and Bud. Or Buddy.
And my grandfather was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, so he would, you know, we'd get into it. He hated Richard Nixon. That's where I got my love of politics, was those Sunday afternoon dinners when he and my dad would go at it, and then I learned from all that. So
that's cool.
It's good.
So who's conservative in your family? Where the conservative?
Oh, from my mom. Okay. She brought dad over to the you know, to the light. She brought him into the light. Yeah. Brought him over from the dark side, Democratic Party.
Interesting. Can you elaborate a little bit on it? Or?
No, I don't have time. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Chris Arps, thanks, my friend.
Story for another day.
So the weekend report is on 5 to 7.
5 to 7, yes.
On Saturday afternoons, Chris and Tony always have a great lineup for you.
Thank you, appreciate it. You going to listen this week?
I'll be always out of town, but I'll listen to it on 97 on radio.com. How about that?
Appreciate that.
The app.
Get more at 971talk.com.